Hey, this is Brian Crescenti.
And I'm Tony Bernhardt Jr.
And we're joining you with another episode of This is Level Infinite.
There's normal metal, which can go into speed metal, thrash metal, all the, you know, kind of 80s stuff. But of the extreme stuff, there's death metal. Death metal is usually down-tuned guitars, low guttural screaming, which people maybe reference as the growling sometimes, the stuff that's more like Cookie Monster-ish. The low monster bear kind of scream.
This is Matt Heafy, a lifelong musician, huge fan of video games, and frontman, lead singer, and guitar player for the band Trivium. He also happens to be really into Twitch streaming and, obviously, knows his metal. This is him during our chat in one of his Twitch live streams as he's talking us through the subgenres of metal that use screaming.
And it's a lot more melodic and pleasing to the ear than death metal, which is a lot more extreme. Then there's black metal.
I wish we could just sit here and listen to him talk about this, because it's utterly fascinating. But it's only one small part of this week's episode of This is Level Infinite.
This week we're going to be talking about the rhythm first-person shooter that's absolutely dripping in metal music, including an original piece sung by Heafy himself.
But first, back to Matt. Unfortunately, he declined to do some screaming for us.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, I think after so much chatting, he said that trying to do screaming would be bad for his throat, which is, I think, interesting in and of itself. But we were able to talk with him about how he got involved in Metal Hellsinger and why.
Yeah, Trivium and Matt are no strangers to creating music for video games. I mean, if you think about it, they've created music for everything from Guitar Hero to Rainbow Six to music inspired by God of War and even The Sims.
The Sims? Really?
The Sims, yes. I mean, Matt even performed the entire song complete with growls and metal screams and everything in Simlish. They've also done a lot of things like performing for special events with The Elder Scrolls Online and Mortal Kombat.
So, really, they aren't just into games, they're into games. And they also do a lot of work with them.
Yes, they are all in.
But Matt said his work on Metal Hellsinger felt very different than some of the other stuff he's done.
Hellsinger is the first of its kind ever, like looking at that list right now, to be able to be involved with something that's original in the game itself. And that, as I mentioned, has been a goal of mine since before Trivium, to be in a game soundtrack that's not Trivium, that's something that exists and floats. The material was written for me. The material's super amazing. When it's that great of source material, it's incredibly easy to channel the vibes that the song is. I love it, and I can't wait to see how it plays within the game itself. That's what I'm super excited about, to see that, to see, oh man, here's finally the foot in this door of something that I've been wanting since before Trivium.
I asked Matt to describe what Metal Hellsinger is actually like to play and how it incorporated metal music into the game.
The game, it's what I love about it is it teaches good rhythm. Sorry, Dad. Love you, guy. His rhythm, even though he's been a musician his entire life, is at times questionable. And so it's something I've been trying to teach my kids since they've been like noticing music. They love a lot of the stuff from like, right now they love Encanto soundtrack. So I make sure that they kind of get the pulse of the beat. So when they're like nodding their head, actually last night they were having a dance party to Carpenter Brut, which is this incredible French electronic band that I always thought was a black metal band because their art is so damn metal. But my kids, Akira headbangs perfectly on time. So it's, some people have those things built in them. Some people are naturally gifted musicians, singers, people with rhythm. I didn't have any of that. I was not a good guitar player, not a good singer, not a good screamer, not good at rhythm, but I had to learn that stuff. So what's amazing about Hellsinger is that it will teach those who need to be taught. It will solidify those who already have it for rhythm, but it's a rhythm-based FPS game, which is truly amazing because that mixes two of the best of both worlds that exist in the gaming space. You know, of that huge list I mentioned, Rock Band, Rocksmith, Guitar Hero, all those things that happened, that is such a huge moment in time. I mean, when Rock Band took off, South Park, it's launched the careers of so many bands that are still doing really well from their bands doing well from Rock Band back then. And then FPS. FPS has been in my life forever. I feel like I would imagine FPS has got to be one of the most popular gaming genres that exists. To the, so to combine those two things, rhythm-based shooter, I think is truly wonderful.
And from what I've seen of the videos and talking to people, basically, it's a little bit like Guitar Hero. The better you are at hitting those notes, at like firing off shots and moving to the rhythm, the more of the music you hear, right? It sort of blossoms.
Exactly. Yeah, different elements of the game's songs will happen the better you do. So, for example, I haven't been able to hear it how with my song works, but the way I was explained is that in the easier modes, when you're doing okay, you'll hear the bass most ingredients of the song. And as you hit more of that, you'll be able to hear all the layered instruments of the production of the song, which I think is such a cool thing to be able to have those stems built up. I think that'll probably start opening people's ears up to different things. I feel like people that aren't musicians probably hear music differently than musicians do. Like if I'm listening to music, I actually can't hear the whole song. I have to focus in. Am I listening to the bass at this moment? Am I listening to the guitar? Am I listening to the harmony? Am I listening to the drums? Am I listening to the back production? But this way, we'll be able to isolate it and people can start to notice these different elements of how a song is stacked and built.
There was a soul. Had music inside. They called her the unknown.
Now, Matt's not the only singer the Outsiders work with on this game, right, Brian?
Yeah, that's right. They have a bunch of metal artists and bands, including folks from Dark Tranquillity, from Arch Enemy, and even the Black Crown Initiate. And Two Feathers, a studio that specializes in creating music and sound for games, wrote and composed the songs for the game. David Goldfarb, the studio creative director at The Outsiders, said that the first person they reached out to was Dark Tranquillity's Mikkel Stanna.
He was super into the idea. He came by the studio. I don't remember when this was. I guess it was like fall of 2019 or before 18, 2018. My God. No, I don't. It was something like that. It was a million years. It feels like a million years ago. And he was like, yeah, this seems cool. And then he did a first kind of prototype and we all went like, yep, okay, it's going to work. And then as we started approaching people, because Two Feathers was, they were handling the kind of the contact with the artists. So they really know. But I think in general, they would hear the music and be like, this sounds cool. And then we would record them. I think they were generally like super, A, great to work with, and B, like super enthusiastic. Like Matt Heafy has been really exceptional in terms of his interest and follow through and all that stuff. He's the Trivium, you know, vocalist, guitarist. So I think it's been just like, he's a gamer also. So like there's obvious synergies with him, but it just in general, everybody's been incredibly positive and great to work with. So we've been very like happily surprised.
So this is a game that seems to have started with the music, specifically the music of another very popular, very metal game.
I think I've been playing a lot of like Doom 2016 and then listening to like various metal songs. Like I had been listening to Meshuggah, I remember specifically, and I was thinking, oh, it would be cool to, because sometimes the music would overlap the beat and you would kill stuff on the beat. And I thought that was cool. I would like to do that in a game. It would be cool to be the opposite of the Doom Slayer, you know, to be a demon fighting its way out of hell for one reason or another. And I guess that I stuck around that idea, but I forgot about it while we were working on Darkborn. And then we had the opportunity kind of to, after that project didn't work out, to be like, well, what would you want to do if you could do something? And I said, well, there's this other thing, to Funcom. And they were like, well, that sounds interesting. Why don't you try to do that? So that's kind of what we wound up doing.
Now, Darkborn was the Outsiders' very first gaming project. In that one, players would control a monster, huge monster, sort of atypical from the formula you'd usually find in a game, which is pretty awesome because you're basically the baddie and the humans are the enemies, those pesky humans.
Yeah, but that project, which was going to be a first-person adventure RPG game, fell through. David really liked the idea of sort of flipping the narrative, changing the perspective for the players so that they're not playing the classic hero. The story of Hellsinger has you taking on the role of a demon in an infernal shooter, using the tools of rhythm to take back something that was stolen from you. And it all takes place in what David describes as the most metal universe possible.
The way it started was, to me, the concept was bound in the universe of metal. Like, tonally, that's where it felt like it belonged. But I think also, obviously, like, metal and shooters, and they have a certain, they're complementary to one another. So I think it made sense. I also just felt like, I don't know if the gap in the market is right to say, because obviously there are other games, you know, there's Doom and to name one huge one, that do this kind of, at least the metal part. But I felt like none of them, maybe we could do it in another way.
Judge sent her here first time. Now she's come back for him.
I mean, I loved Brutal Legend. The different, I mean, obviously there's a difference insofar as they were using licensed tracks. And all of our stuff is original, because obviously it needs to work with our systems, and also just legally it would be a nightmare, I think, for us to... We could never get it, I don't even think. So, yeah, but I you know, Brutal Legends is definitely the most metal.
So, they have this idea for a game where you have to shoot and move to the rhythm of a metal song. And the better you do at filling out the song, the more rewards you get. Totally out of the box, totally. So how did they actually make that work, Brian?
Yeah, so that's where Dave and the rest of the team come in. Sheila Wikström, executive producer on Metal Hellsinger, said that when she first heard that the studio was shifting gears to this new project, the new idea seemed like a great fit.
I thought it was very Dave, to be blunt. But that's just how Dave's mind worked. I think what makes it such a pleasure to work with him and sometimes very trying is that his creative ideas are somewhat unusual and very over the top in a way that I just really enjoy, but it can be hard to put yourself into at first, like, dude, what is this even? Like, how are we going to execute this in a good way? But we have a shooter pedigree as a studio, and within 2 months or something, we had a really good prototype, and that idea really came to life. And I think that's very true with Darkbone, which we were working on at first as well.
Key to making the gameplay gel was finding a way to get players into a flow state where they lose themselves in the game. It's something that happens not just in good games, Sheila pointed out, but in music as well. In Metal Hellsinger, they wanted to blend both together.
We had to hit the ground running fast, you know, with this concept. And we didn't have that much time. It was about 2 months to realize this vision and find the fun. And I think already, like, within the first two sprints or something, that was 3 or 4 weeks, I started to see this thing take shape. And it could be because the studio has a shooter pedigree, and we're also a bunch of metalheads too. And I think that really contributed to the fact that we started to see that take shape pretty fast, and the fun coming together. But I just remember sitting down and playing the prototype myself.
Here's Minerva, otherwise known as Divine Abolisher.
We had some temp music before we got the real thing for the prototype from composer duo Two Feathers. And already then, it was pretty awesome. But then when we got it up the way that it's supposed to be, how it's mechanically built in the game now, with the layers and the stems and the acts set up by Elvira Niklas, the composer duo, it was just so evident that this is going to work. And this is awesome.
Yeah, David says he gets that exact feeling, that sense of flow, when he plays the game. And he's hoping others will feel that too.
It's like the thing that you get if you're really good at a shooter, or like if you're playing Guitar Hero, and you manage to just not miss a string of notes. And, you know, you feel really good, and you're playing with the song. You feel like you're in the song. Same thing, except you're shooting demons in the face. You're in the song. You're part of the song. You're driving the song. You feel like... Well, you feel metal, I guess. So you feel like you've become this demoness, and it's awesome and empowering. So, like, that's the vibe, I think, that when you're at your best and people are in the zone, it just really feels good, in the same way that, like, any flow state in any sport, or, you know, if it's a game that you can achieve flow state in, or if it's playing music, it's like that. You want to get into the flow state. It does that in a particular way that feels really special, I think.
David even walked us through the process of designing each level. The developers not only had to worry about the typical elements of level design and standard game mechanics, but they also had to anchor everything to music being created by Two Feathers and performed by a cast of musicians.
We would have the level usually in some state. We knew what the story was at that point, so we knew kind of what the emotional beats were. And then there would be a level And me and the music team would talk and we'd be like, all right, so what's the vibe of this song? What's it going to be like? And then they would come back with like a riff. And then I'd be like, yeah, that's cool. Or what if we did this? Or sometimes it would just be perfect. And I would be like, okay, cool. Let's do that. And then they would sort of develop that into kind of like a song and we would have feedback. And then once we had the song, I think then they would begin to work on like scratch vocals for things so that they could figure out where the singing was. And then once those were done, we would start talking about lyrics and then we would kind of all throw in stuff. And then they would always wind up doing the, obviously the final.
Here's Matt explaining what happened once the music got to him.
The way I always do a Trivium record is we start with all the main parts and build up from there. So once we have the melodies down, then it's building harmonies. So once we track some of these and any parts I didn't hear, you know, there wasn't a harmony plan, there wasn't a scream part plan. I was like, hey, how about we do this? How about we do that? And the way you get that sort of toolbox assembled for your ear and brain is just playing around. So with Trivium, we've done the 10 records and all the other stuff on the outsides. It's a matter of allowing yourself to just play and to see what kind of harmonies make sense. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. So it was really cool to be able to stack some really awesome harmonies. I remember we tracked the whole song. We did a couple passes of the harmonies and I felt like a couple parts weren't there yet. So the way I do Trivium is I lay everything with a very like very technical and very safe first to set up the blueprint of the song for the main melody vocals. And I have a screaming and a singing that's very sustainable. So I do those first to set my own maps on top of their maps. Then I start tracking the things that require perfect technical precision, the super high vocal harmonies, starts layering those. Once all of that stuff is done, I usually go back and delete all the main vocals. Once we tracked all the harmonies and all the main parts, I was like, you know what? Let's do this like this now. Let's hit this much harder, much grittier, much more intense. And that's that throwing technique at the window, throwing out the hit point bar of your voice. Because I have two very distinctive ways I sing and scream for everything that I do. There's the Ibaraki style. That's my side project black metal band. That's the style of singing and screaming that I do in that, which is a little bit more sustainable than the Trivium one. Lasts much longer. It's what I do on stream. It's what I do live because, like I said, it's sustainable. Then there's the Trivium one, which is the one I do on records. And that's using your throat, screaming to the point where it feels like you're vomiting. I always get headaches from it. The singing hurts like hell, makes your voice feel terrible for days. And that's the recording version. That's why I don't do that live. I mean, a lot of other singers I went out to visit the Fit for an Autopsy show at the Haven the other day in Orlando. And I was talking to the singer of Great American Ghost who has an incredible scream pitch. Like I told him, it was like within his brutal, brutal scream, I hear like Chester Bennington's highest notes within the scream. And he doesn't warm up. Joe Badd from Fit for an Autopsy doesn't warm up. And they all have incredible ranges, incredible voices, but it doesn't hurt them. So I always say this with singers, it's a couple paths they can go. There's guys like Bruce Dickinson, Howard Jones, Joe Badd, they don't warm up. They weren't trained. They just do it and it just works and it doesn't hurt. Keep doing that. Don't change it. Don't think about it. Then there's people like myself, Matt from Avenged, Miles Kennedy. We all need this very specific, very long, trained, practiced warm-up and regimentation to keep our voices in check for shows. And that's what we know it takes, and we keep that going. So there's those multiple paths. So once I did the very technical thing, I was like, now it's time to throw it away and make this much better. So I knew to make that call right away before I said, all right, we're done here. Once I switched to that super grit voice, Elvira and Nicholas were super stoked, and they were like, this is amazing, there you go.
Sheila said that each level also has its own theme set by ambience and mood, all of it supported by the music.
The tracks obviously also have to support gameplay, and the tracks are built so that they have different acts. So depending on which space you're in, an act will change to support that gameplay space and make that more exciting. So I think it really emphasizes those moments where you want to feel super badass. Maybe it's one of the final encounters of the level, and then, you know, we turn on one of the acts and the track that has this cool crescendo with many types of screams and cool riffs, and then you just blast the enemies. And I think how the songs were built really supported that and made each playthrough even more fun, especially if you were, you know, performing at peak. So that's one way to look at it. But it's just like a very small part of how the music plays in and support each part of the game. I mean, we have incredible tech behind it. So, you know, one part of it is just the architecture of it all and the engineering. And of course, that stuff is incredibly difficult, but also well made. But I think when we were looking for feedback and we had just started out, some of the feedback we got was like, you know, this doesn't really sound possible. Is this going to be like a Rails shooter? So I think when you play it, you really get it. But even when we were starting out very early and we were just looking for feedback, it was hard for others to understand how this could be executed well. And I understand that because it is complicated. It's not just the tech. It's every single thing in the game that has to respond in a way that is satisfying to you with the music. So yeah, it is incredibly difficult. But I think that, and that was what was so amazing with the prototype, because you know, a lot of it that's in the game now, we had already then. And back then when we were building the prototype, which we have just polished and fine-tuned up until now. And that was super fascinating. I think that we were able to do that so early on when we built this concept.
And the lyrics to all of those songs are doing double duty. On the one hand, they're a layer of the music unlocked as you play. And on the other, they're actually telling the story of Metal Hellsinger. On top of all that, the team at The Outsiders brought in famed voice actors Troy Baker, who you might know from games like The Last of Us or, you know, plenty of the Telltale series games, Far Cry. He's basically the voice of every video game character, it seems like. So he provides the narration in the game. And then Jennifer Hale, who is another famed voice actor who's done everything from work on Baldur's Gate and Mass Effect to BioShock Infinite and Metroid Prime, she is the voice of one of the characters in the game. I don't want to have any spoilers, so I can't tell you who it is.
No spoilers. No, I think that's a really important point to make, Brian. I mean, metal music is deeply ingrained in the game, obviously. It's in the title. But David points out that you don't necessarily have to be a fan of that sort of music to like the game.
I think the music is exceptional. Even people that don't like metal, but we get this all the time, are just like, I just want to hear the song. Like, I just really like the songs, which, you know, we didn't really know would be the case. So that's really good. But also we get the thing where people didn't really know how it would play until they, even though we could explain the concept 100 times, but then they would sit down and play it and be like, oh, that was really cool. I didn't really understand though before I played it. So that's good enough, but bad in the sense that, you know, we have to find the best way to communicate why it feels the way that it does. Because it really is, it's not immediately apparent, even if you can explain the concept to someone why it feels different than like playing a shooter. But then when you go back to playing a regular shooter, it feels flat. With Doom 2016, I really was a huge fan of that game, I think more than Eternal. But I would hope that we could get people to feel equally good or differently good, you know, when they're playing our game. They are different budget-wise and otherwise, but I would hope that people who dig Doom would look at our game and be like, okay, there's some shared DNA. Obviously, they're trying to do something different and it's cool. And there's, you know, I think our shooter pedigree is pretty good. Like the people in our studio have made a lot of shooters. So I think we're good with core mechanics. And I think the rhythm layer is really interesting, and I hope other people will draw a similar conclusion.
Sheila admits that Metal Hellsinger's very specific sort of game, a niche title that caters to people who love metal and first-person shooters. But she also thinks it could pull in a broader audience.
Maybe people that aren't so familiar to either genre and will fall in love with either of them or both of them. So that is one of the things that I really hope to see for the game. So if we get a few more metal lovers in the world, I think that would be a great success.
And that's exactly what Trivium's Matt Heafy sees happening.
I think it'll absolutely be a wide audience. And I think that games have the ability to do that, cast a wide net, teach a lot more people about this far superior genre of music that they could be listening to and getting them into, which I think is pretty amazing. I think anytime a game does have a more metal soundtrack or has more metal and can expose that to people that didn't know about it before, can hopefully be turning them into something they never knew they loved before. Like with our band, we've got a lot of songs that I consider kind of the gateway drugs of Trivium's stuff, the stuff that is a little bit more melodic, a little bit simpler, a little bit easier to understand, a little bit less in the extremity, and that will get people to go, wow, I want to listen to the rest of this band. Then they start digging further. So I feel like Hellsinger can do the same thing in that it is super metal and it is perfectly exactly what the genre should be doing and portraying. But if it can lock in a couple people and get them into the rest of the soundtrack, and then they go, huh, what were the composer's favorite bands? Or who are these guests on this? And they can go further and expand the genre even more. It's been one of my big missions since streaming on Twitch and since my channel has grown to make sure metal stays in games. Because when I started streaming on here, I just assumed gamers listen to metal because it's so visually, aesthetically metal. I mean, if you look at any games throughout time, anything that's kind of Tolkien-based, anything that has like monsters, knights, guns, anything. Like that says metal to me. But when I'd speak to other streamers, they didn't really know metal. They're like, oh, isn't that all the screaming stuff? Or isn't that all that satanic stuff? And I think it's very important. It's very amazing that Hellsinger is showing like, hey, this incredible music that is the backbone of this game is not just a genre of music. It's something that's so much more. So I've been working at that.
Ultimately, this will be the Outsider's first published game. And the people we spoke with say that working on Metal Hellsinger has been a joy, despite the turmoil that led up to it.
It's been wonderful working on Metal, and I love this game, and it means so much to me. It's been like a dream project, but we still had to move on from something. And that does things to a team. And I think there are many developers out there who have like games in their graveyard, things that they had to leave behind, and that hurts. And sometimes that hurt can create very complicated emotions and maybe conflict, but it made us stronger. It really did. And I'm not saying this as like nobody was feeling any hurt or there was no complicated emotions whatsoever. There were, but you know, we got through that struggle together. And I think it's Metal Hellsinger is... it's a little bit of a love letter of that journey that we had to do. We also had to journey through the 8 layers of hell to get through and make this game. I realize how tacky that sounds, but it's true. And I have been so proud working with this team. I love it. And that's definitely, I mean, I love the game, but the team is really what does it for me, motivates me every day.
Man, that does sound like quite the journey, but one that's leading to a pretty amazing metal game.
Yeah, and you know, good news for all of you older metalheads out there, including myself, David told me that, and I quote, classic metal people may or may not appear in the game.
Ooh, okay, you've got a good, what does that mean? What does that mean? Some cameo action?
Yeah, so I have to give you a little context here. We were talking about some of the metal I listened to growing up, bands like Metallica and Iron Maiden and maybe some people like Ozzy, and he said that nothing was off the table.
When we made this initially...
here's David again.
I had a certain kind of like subgrouping of metal, and I think the music team obviously did also. So we were sort of like working with a certain set of artists that kind of fit, and we didn't go too far outside of that because we didn't know if it would work. You know, once we got it to work, then we were like, okay, let's not make our lives more difficult and add a bunch of other stuff. But now I think we have a better sense of how we would do things. So for the future, I think it's definitely possible that we would widen the spectrum of artists to encompass, you know, some of them, whether it was more classic or, you know, it has to fit the universe. But I think we have a reasonable idea about how to make that work.
Man, I cannot wait to find out what happens there.
Me too, because you know, I could kill a lava flow packed with demonic doggies to the music of Crazy Train.
You said that in one take. That's pretty friggin' awesome. Okay. Thanks for joining us this week on This is Level Infinite. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow to stay up to date on everything Level Infinite and beyond.
Wait, was that a Toy Story reference?
Bye. Bye.
This is Level Infinite is a production of Pad and Pixel LLC. Your hosts are Tony Bernhardt Jr. and myself, Brian Crescenti. This podcast is produced and edited by Brian Crescenti, Dave Tack, and Ethan Vincent. Audio engineering and final mastering by Dan Carlisle.